Thank you for listening and watching today's show. We aren't here to tell you what to think, but to inspire and empower you to do your own thinking for better life results. We are being shadow banned, censored, canceled, and deleted simply for sharing our message. Go to contacttammy.com and always stay connected with us. At contacttammy.com, sign up for our latest report on health, freedom, and organic lifestyle. Text the word health to 833-838-1020 and get free access to our community and a chance to win free merchandise and products. Send me a quick message and become a supporter. There are many options available and you will have a direct impact on keeping independent media healthy and growing. Go to contacttammy.com and let's stay connected. On the Naturally Inspired Daily Health Watch, three strategies to make a positive impact on your health this year. The executive order on advancing biotechnology and biomanufacturing, how is it going to impact us? Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health, or ARPA, and what you should know about it. Renee Wegerzin and the revolving door of government and industry. Robert Califf. Who is he? And he's the head of the FDA. Naturally Inspired podcast clip is with Jessica Rose. Blog post over on livenaturallyinspired.com and a feel-good moment. All that and more today on the Naturally Inspired Daily. Today's Health Watch, Happy New Year. And with the new year comes all the promises of changing the way your health is. Losing weight is high on that list. So you'll see headlines like drop 10 pounds in 10 days, lose your belly fat with all of these different fad diets. And if you've been watching me for very long at all, you know I'm not a big fan of fad diets. So what I want to do today is just give you three things to focus on that you can use to build your foundation, to change your relationship with food, change your relationship with how you view your health. And these things I think are really easy, pretty easy to implement. Number one is eat for nutritional content. So instead of thinking about convenience, price, something that you crave or just, you know, that you really a guilty pleasure, think about the food in terms of what nutritional content is going to provide for your body. So once you start really looking in on those things closer, you'll realize that some of the foods that you eat, they just aren't worth it. They have such a little amount of nutrition in them that they become just, you know, something that doesn't make sense for your diet anymore, because you want to be getting the minerals, the vitamins, and the sustenance that you need for energy. So when you take a close look at that and you make choices based on nutritional content, it will make your choices a lot more valuable to you. Second is read something about where your food comes from every day. So the knowledge that we acquire about our food changes our action. So say, for instance, if you learn that your favorite fast food company doesn't really abide by very ethical practices, or maybe they add things into their food like wood chips, or plastic polymers or fillers, it's kind of a turnoff. So when you learn about this stuff, it just helps you make those decisions, without even really thinking about them. Once I learned that a certain fast food place added plastic polymers into their bread, I didn't want to eat it anymore. So I didn't have to even think about it. It was just like, no, I'm not eating that anymore. So that's really, really helpful. And as you accumulate, you know, this knowledge 15 minutes a day, you'll find that it spreads out with all of your health habits. So it's really valuable. The third thing is track your food. Now, I know this can be cumbersome for some people and they find it, it's like tedious. I don't want to do it. But the truth is, when you are aware of your calories that you're taking in, how much protein you're taking in, how much carbohydrates you're taking in, how many fats, you just you just won't believe it. When you finally sit down and look at it in front of your face, you're like, well, of course that's why I'm hungry all the time, because I'm only getting like 10% of protein. Whereas if I work to up my protein, I'm going to feel a lot more satiated. Also, it allows you to have foods that you want within the calorie range that you have, so you can plan for those foods. I'm not a believer in eliminating whole food groups. I'm just a believer in knowing what you're eating and staying within certain boundaries and never, you know, saying I can ever have that. No, you can have that. You just need to plan for it. So three easy tips to take into the new year to get the results you want. Way back in September, you know, well, for the last almost 3 years now, there's been so much news every single day. We're just bombarded with different things going on in the news. So it's easy for stuff to slip by us. But I think that we really need to start paying attention to some of these executive orders that have been passed and how they will affect us. So let's take a look at this from back in September. Our president passed an executive order on advancing biotechnology and biomanufacturing innovation for a sustainable, safe, and secure American bioeconomy. The reason why I want to bring this to your attention is because we're seeing a lot of fast tracking now. We're seeing, you know, medicines being animal testing being eliminated from medicines and whatnot. And we're going to start seeing a lot of new products on the market. Now, that doesn't just mean pharmaceutical products. I want to bring your attention to this policy here, where it said it is the policy of my administration to coordinate a whole of government approach to advance biotechnology and biomanufacturing towards innovative solutions in health, climate change, energy, food security, agriculture, supply chain resilience, and national and economic security. Now, the red flag here is this involves a ton of government departments. And the reason why is because of this new term, bioeconomy. Okay, it's kind of this play on words, if you will. We're going to see a lot more of this marrying of technology and health, this marrying of our food and technology. It's kind of, you know, we've been conditioned over the last decade or so to start thinking of ourselves almost like computers or technology. And so when you upgrade your phone or you download something, we're going to see this kind of vocabulary transferred over to us as humans. And so you're going to hear this kind of talk about bioeconomy and innovation and, you know, just upload your new application and log into your digital money account or whatever. So it's this merging, what I'm trying to say is it's this merging of technology and our biology. And this particular executive order is not just going to stay in technology. It's going to come into our food source. It's going to come into our how we transport things. It's going to come into all kinds of things. And it's going to be under the name of biosecurity as well. So we have to do this because the technology allows it to be safer and we don't want any biohacking. And this is kind of the narrative that you're going to hear a lot more about. My question is, what about informed consent? As we see all this technology inching into our food supply, isn't it necessary for us to know what that means, what impact that will have on our health? And some people don't even understand, you know, that a lot of food is being grown in laboratories and that they're, you know, genetically modifying a lot of the food. it's such a small little label on the back of the boxes now, but it, you know, most foods now have a very tiny label that say made from bioengineered materials. And we don't know the long-term effects of health on that. So it seems to me like that should have some kind of consent to it. Who passed this where it's like, you know, this is totally fine with everybody? It seems like that should have been a democratic vote on that. But of course it wasn't. So this particular executive order really speeds up this process. What he's saying in this order is that he's going to deregulate any red tape to get this stuff moving really quickly. So it poses a lot of questions, and a lot of people don't even realize what this is, what this executive order means and what it will mean to them on a daily basis. The second thing I have noticed that seems to have been overlooked is this new agency called ARPA. Let's take a look at this article from the NIH.gov, the Advanced Research Projects Agency for Health. So this is an agency that supports the development of high impact research to drive biomedical. Again, there's that bio and health marriage to technology, the breakthroughs to deliver transformative, sustainable, and equitable health solutions for everyone. Its missions, ARPA-H's mission, focus on leveraging research advances for real-world impact. So it's biomedical and health research that cannot be readily accomplished through traditional research or commercial activity. So essentially, there's been a whole other agency to kind of fast-track this technology with our biology. And again, we're seeing people like coming out of industry into government institutions. And the head of ARPA, the first head of ARPA H right now, is Renee Wegerson. And she comes straight from technology. Let's take a look at her previous endeavor, which is a company called Ginkgo Bioworks. So again, we're seeing this revolving door of government and agency. So Renee comes from a background where she was working for a company called Ginkgo Bioworks. I should mention that Ginkgo Bioworks got a lot of its money from Cascade, which is a sub company of Bill Gates's. He uses to invest in farmland and also into biotech companies such as Ginkgo Bioworks. So this Renee was the head of Ginkgo Bioworks. Now this company is scary. Oh my gosh, it's scary. I can understand how people in technology can get excited about these kinds of advances, but the thing that scares me about them is I think that because they're so into the technology and to the promise of advancement in health, that they just want to forgo safety. And that is the scary part about it. And that is where the discussion of ethics needs to come into play. So much of the general population, I don't think, has a very up-to-date perception of how far along some of these advancements are and what that means. Given, you know, just look at what we've been through over the last 3 years with the shots. So many people seem to think that they grabbed a live coronavirus, killed it, and put it into a vaccine, and that's what they injected into themselves. And that, of course, is not what they injected into themselves. They injected into themselves a gene code that tricked their body into developing these spike proteins to, protect themselves from the virus itself. But that's not how people understood it. So it's really an ethical problem to sit back and pitch something as with the term vaccine when indeed that isn't what it is at all. It is a technology. And that's where we're headed. The future is about injectables. And that doesn't mean vaccines. That means this technology, this gene code editing. But Ginkgo Bioworks, they strive to for designer gene code editing. They talk about, they say things like, well, Renee had said things that in one of her talks that I watched, that the future is you run into your friend downtown and you have a little talk and you ask them, so what genes are you on? That's kind of their utopian thinking about this kind of technology, is that one day you'll have designer gene injections to change you, or to be able to, you know, pre-order a baby. This is the type of thing that they're working on and very excited about. They pitch it mostly in the public eye like it's going to cure disease. But in actuality, there's a whole nother arm to this kind of technology. And we don't know long-term effects on any of this stuff. And our regulatory bodies, if you want to even call them that anymore, there's basically extensions of these biotech companies and the pharmaceutical companies. They're breaking down all of the regulations that would protect the public from any of this, because they are in such close, you know, relationship with one another, where governments, you know, is being funded by a lot of the biotech companies and pharmaceutical companies. So there's just this collusion of corruption, and nobody's looking out for the regular person here. So we have to make sure we're doing that ourselves. So we need to keep an eye on this ARPA, and we need to keep an eye on Ginkgo Bioworks type companies and where they're headed. And especially this Renee, who is now, you know, the head of ARPA-H, says ARPA-H will be developing all of these technologies with no doubt a endless budget. So while we're talking about kind of the industry and government collusion, here's another one that kind of surprises me. You know, the head of the FDA is a Robert Califf, and he also comes from a tech background. And I just think it's kind of ironic that we continue to kind of overlook this revolving door. Maybe some people are becoming a little bit more aware that the pharmaceutical companies are, you know, cycling in and out of government and then into head positions at pharmaceutical companies. But that's also happening with tech companies. And that's something we should be aware of. So let's take a look at this 2017 article from Yahoo News. So last Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Dr. Robert Califf announced Wednesday that he would join Google biotech spinoff Verily Life Sciences. So he was very heavily involved in that biotech, and he's saying he's hoping to offer insights that will allow the company to better tailor its technologies to meet the needs of doctors and other providers. This is back in 2017. And now we see him, you know, in a position of power in government. And when it's clear that, you know, he has been involved in these technology companies, and, you know, they're investors in these companies, a lot of these people, and they're tied to its success at a high level. And I just don't know that, you know, people are aware of these kinds of affiliations and what that means in terms of regulation and safety and who monitors it. So we gotta, you know, get in there and really start pushing back on some of this stuff, because it's not the government that's going to save us from these types of things. And it's not industry that's going to save us from these types of things. It's going to be the public. It's going to be us. And so we have to know and recognize the relationships and how corrupt they actually are. When we're talking about the person that's in charge of the FDA, right, the Food and Drug Administration, their duty is primarily to make sure that the public is safe from products and whatnot. How does that work, though, when, you know, you have this revolving door of industry and government? If you look at the government website, the fda.gov, and you look at this description of Robert Califf, He's a medical doctor, commissioner of food and drugs. President Joe Biden nominated Dr. Califf to head the U.S. FDA, and he was sworn in February 17th, 2022, previously served as commissioner of food and drugs from February 2016 to January 2017. As the top official of the FDA, Dr. Califf is committed to strengthening programs and policy that enable the agency to carry out its mission to protect and promote the public health. Well, back in, gosh, I think it was the early 2000s, even, you know, public NPR was noticing that there was this, you know, problem within this revolving door of, industry and government. And back then they were starting to point out that this could go really wrong. And we've seen that, especially since the 1999 user fee agreement with pharmaceutical companies and the FDA was rolled out. But those articles have since disappeared, and it's so disturbing that we don't even have like public, supposedly public funded media covering these types of things. So this was an issue way back, you know, we're talking, you know, two decades ago, this was being brought to the forefront, but instead of it being brought to the forefront and taken care of, it's almost like it was brought to the forefront, stomped down, and now we don't see it anywhere, except for like on alternative news and people that actually dig around for truth. So who is protecting the public at this point? You have to protect yourself. Today's show is brought to you by NaturallyInspiredMinerals.com. If I could pick only one supplement to take with me on a deserted island, it would probably be my plant-derived minerals. I've been taking these minerals for years now, and I can't say enough about them. Our bodies need efficient amounts of minerals, many in trace amounts, to function at optimum levels. Keep your mineral levels high and your body feeling good with NaturallyInspiredMinerals.com while supporting our show. If you don't follow me on Twitter, that's probably the last place, public place, I am available and not censored. My Instagram account is atrocious in terms of censoring. And of course, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I got the boot. But Twitter so far so good since Elon has taken over. I feel like maybe a little bit of shadow banning going on, but I don't know. Anyway, if you haven't followed me on Twitter, go ahead and do that. It's Tammy Cuthbert G is my handle. And one of my favorite people just got reinstated back on Twitter, and that's Jessica Rose. And today's curated clip of the Naturally Inspired podcast is with her. Check it out.
The last 2 years has been an attack on humanity. Yep. I've been saying that forever. Yep. It's very apparent. Clinical psychologists are saying this. It's very, very clear.
Yep.
That isolating people in the way that they have been, these lockdowns, nonsense, bullshit, mm-hmm. not letting you go within past 100 meters of your house.
Oh, yeah.
Covering your face. You know, especially for children who are still developing, it's like they need to be able to see faces in order mm-hmm. to learn, in order for their neurons to form certain pathways and develop. And I mean, the whole goddamn thing has been a farce to me. And it's been a very destructive farce.
That's Jessica Rose calling it like it is. When she says it's a farce, she doesn't mean people didn't get sick. She doesn't mean that, you know, COVID wasn't real. What she means is how this was handled was an absolute farce. The things that needed to happen did not happen. And the things that absolutely did not need to happen happened. And that's what she's talking about. So she's back on Twitter. Come follow her and come follow me. Over on livenaturallyinspired.com, that is where you can find all my content in one place. The latest blog post here is about no diets. As we talked about in Health Watch today, fad diets are not my thing. Living a healthy lifestyle is about so much more than losing weight. This is only one of the metrics that you can use to track your health. There is so much more involved in living a healthy lifestyle, you know, to being able to feel good, to improving your mood, to contributing to a local economy by buying things that are close to you, to being just ethically buying the right products. This all makes an impact to modeling for other children, or even for other adults. Your health has a huge impact. And by measuring it just with one metric like weight, because it's a new year, isn't sustainable. You need to really build a lifestyle that you believe in and that you can feel good about the actions that you're taking. And that will carry you through to get the results you want and to maintain it. I always like to leave you with a feel-good moment. So those of you that are not joining us into a deeper dive after this, if you're not yet a subscriber, you can get access to the deeper dive that will happen right after this. Just by subscribing to livenaturallyinspired.com, you can get your first 30 days for free. So if you sign up now by using promo code Tammy, it's just $5 a month for all of our content in one place. Check out this feel-good moment today. I don't think we actually need CRISPR or all these neural links or whatever. If we just live by a few simple principles and have a good, healthy foundation on what it means to build a healthy body, we can continue to move freely. Check out this guy's 91 years old.
We're doing those tumors from cell phones back in the 90s. And here we are 30 years later, and there's the biggest thing ever. Everybody's got the pockets in there.
Moving pretty darn good on skates at 91 years old. So it is possible. You might not even need the Neuralink. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Naturally Inspired Daily. If you'd like access to the exclusive content that's coming up next, head over to livenaturallyinspired.com and become a subscriber today. See you next time. Find amazing interviews with people like David Icke, Max Egan, frontline doctors, and more at naturallyinspiredpodcast.com. Connect with me directly at tammycuthbertgarcia.com. Support our amazing team, help us defeat censorship, and become a subscriber for only $5 a month at livenaturallyinspired.com. Find me on all social media platforms at connectwithtammy.com.